Welcome to This Month's Pulse. I'm Elizabeth Tracy.
And I'm Redonda Miller, president of the Johns Hopkins Hospital.
Redonda, we're talking about something today that's just extremely timely and, in my mind, good news, and that's telemedicine. What's the state of telemedicine here at Johns Hopkins?
You know, Elizabeth, if you had asked me 5 years ago, I wouldn't have the same story that I have today. Today, telemedicine has ramped up to an incredible degree, to the point where all of our clinicians are now becoming leaders in the field, and we're offering so many services to our patients.
I am so glad to hear this. I've been covering this, as you know, for quite a while. One of the places that it seems like it's got a lot of legs, and I don't mean that as a pun, is in the assessment of movement disorders for people who really struggle to come here for appointments. Help me to understand where we are with that.
I think the movement disorder story is a good one, and it just exemplifies telemedicine. When you think about telemedicine and why would you do it, three factors come to mind. One is patient experience. How can we make it a better experience for our patients? Number two, convenience. In our world, with people living very busy lives, they want convenience. And then the third is improved access. The story of the movement disorders telemedicine project really embodies that. Imagine a patient who has ALS, which is Lou Gehrig's disease. They've lost mobility and functional ability. Their home, confined to their home. It is difficult to get to a clinic. It involves wheelchairs and ambulance rides. Now fast forward to today, where we can bring the office visit to them in their home. Via a video screen, they can interact with their physician, they can do the appropriate assessment, and make recommendations for the next steps in their treatment, all from the comfort and convenience of the patient's own home.
Right, and we see that with patients with Parkinson's disease and other movement disorders also, even after a stroke, for example, when ambulation can be really challenging.
Absolutely. You know, stroke brings up another story, our telestroke service. Now, for those listening, there is a movement to have centers of excellence for stroke care. Some of the therapies for stroke are highly technical and involve catheters into arteries in the brain, removing blood clots. So it's very important for us to have specialized centers of excellence. If you are at a patient at a community hospital, suppose Howard County in our own system, and you may be having a stroke, right there, the doctors in the ED can conference in via telehealth the stroke experts at an academic medical center like Hopkins and make the diagnosis, confirm whether the patient needs transfer, get the patient immediately up here for whatever invasive procedure they may need that saves lives. And so we are expanding our telestroke program around the state.
Really, this is great news for patients. What else are we doing with telemedicine?
Oh, so much. Imagine, I mentioned convenience was a driver. Imagine that you are a mom at home managing four kids and one wakes up with a red eye and there's chaos in your house and the next available pediatrician appointment is not until 2 days and you can't decide whether to send the child to school or not. Johns Hopkins Community Physicians is offering visits where the mom can video in, take a picture of the red eye, show it to the doc, and figure out, you know, what needs to be done. Does this require a visit, a stay home from school, an eye appointment? What exactly do we need to do? So I think there's a convenience story there as well.
Excellent. My understanding is that psychiatry also lends itself really well to this telehealth story, and dermatology.
Absolutely. In psychiatry, we have nurses who will bring iPads into patient homes, connect in with our psychiatrists here, and provide all of the necessary care, but also education about their diseases and self-management. So we're doing a lot of that. I think if I could pivot a bit, just telemedicine, I've told a lot of stories here locally, but telemedicine really serves patients in rural areas who do not have access to care. So I want to mention this improved access. If you are living 200 miles away from the nearest expert, it is hard to access those resources. Now, via telemedicine, we can connect highly specialized care with patients living in rural areas. Hopefully soon, we will take this story international, and you can imagine spreading the high quality care of a Johns Hopkins medicine everywhere in the world.
It all sounds so wonderful. Tell me about the barriers to implementation of telemedicine.
The barriers, yes. Well, one barrier I think we've made good progress on. The first barrier I would like to mention is licensure. If you are a physician and treat a patient who lives in another state, you may not be licensed in that state. As a physician, are you supposed to have 49 licenses other than your home state? It just became unmanageable to do that work. So luckily, with this recent legislative session, Maryland has agreed to be part of the Interstate Medical Licensure Compact. This is a compact among states, 23 states now, that agree to recognize licensure among each other, so that the 23 states participating, if you are a physician licensed in one of the states, that license is recognized in the other 22. That is going to greatly facilitate our abilities. The second barrier, which we have not fixed, are payer restrictions. Believe it or not, despite being able to spread high quality care, offer convenience and access to patients, our payment system is still a bit behind. Not all of our payers appropriately reimburse for these services. So we have work to do there.
Let's just go back to the licensure just for a second. Does this point to you to a need for federal involvement in this particular circumstance?
You know, one could argue that there would be a lot of synergy to have one domestic licensure for all 50 states. You could really see the merits of that. In an economy that's no longer confined by state boundaries, and I would argue even by country boundaries, nation boundaries, trying to do things on a larger level does have some merit. Another merit of cross-interstate licensing, you could argue, would be sharing of data and being able to make sure the quality of physicians is easily recognized across states.
That is an excellent point. Now, I'm going to bring up one thing that might be just a little bit touchy here. I'm just wondering if a huge bolus of people who want to be seen via telemedicine occurs, how's that going to fit into a busy physician's schedule?
That's a good question. I think we have those challenges with outpatient visits in person. We'll have to work on that. I do think telemedicine does offer more convenience. It takes away some of the structural barriers. Is a room available in the outpatient center? Even if it's available, do we have the nursing staff? Being able to connect directly with your patients at the convenience of your desk, I think, does offer opportunity that could streamline care processes.
Excellent. Anything else you'd like to add?
I'm very excited, and I just want to congratulate and give some well-deserved kudos to our clinicians who are leading all of these efforts. It's really remarkable and will allow us to compete and bring high-quality care to so many more patients. So thank you to them.
Thank you. That's this month's Pulse.